excited today to celebrate five folks who are choosing to follow Jesus and have decided to make him Lord of their lives and to publicly proclaim that they want to follow Jesus in baptism today. Can you give the Lord praise for that? That is, to me, the ultimate celebration. Now, we like to have fun around here, and we like to laugh. We think that God's house ought to be full of laughter and joy. And I got to tell you a quick story this morning as we kind of get focused. I'm going to share with you for just a few minutes about the importance of baptism and this decision that's being made today by these five wonderful folks. But I got to start with a story. I heard about an old drunk who stumbled along, and he stumbled right into the middle of a baptismal service on a Sunday afternoon that was happening down by the river. And I don't know if you go back very far in your walk with God, but a lot of times baptismals used to be outside, and they'd be, you know, in different watering holes, different places. And this old drunk, he stumbles down alongside this baptismal, and he proceeds to walk right down into the water and stand right next to the preacher. Sounds like something that would happen to me. And the minister turned and noticed the old drunk standing beside him and said, "Mister, are you ready to find Jesus?" And the old drunk looks back and says, "Yes, preacher, I sure am." The minister then grabs hold of him, dunks the fella down under the water, pulls him right back up. "Have you found Jesus, sir?" the preacher asks. No, I didn't," says the drunk man. So then the preacher takes him and dunks him down this time for a little bit longer, brings him back up and says, "Now, brother, have you found Jesus?" No, I sure didn't, preacher, I sure didn't." This time the preacher, he's just running out of patience and he's a little frustrated, and he takes the man, holds him down this time for at least 30 seconds. This time he brings him up out of the water and says in a little bit of a sharp tone, "Friend, are you sure you haven't found Jesus yet?" The old drunk wipes his eyes and says to the preacher, "Are you sure that this is where he fell in?" Well, this morning, we aren't looking for Jesus in the water. But why do we baptize people? What is the significance of baptism? We all take baths, we all go swimming, we all take showers. Why is this any different? And what makes this so important? And why should this be celebrated in a special way? Well, I think we could start with the question of what does it mean to be a follower of Jesus? What does it mean to be a follower of Jesus? And in today's world, you could have a lot of different answers to that question, quite honestly. And many of our answers could be more based out of convenience than out of conviction. We live in a day today with social media running rampant and people on Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, Instagram, you name it, where it's so easy to follow somebody with a click of a button, or then if they post something or do something or overtweet or overpost, you can just unfollow them. Feels kind of powerful, I guess, in a sense, but it really waters down what it means to be a follower in so many ways. When I think about baptism and I think about the importance of what we're celebrating here today, I think back to those old Billy Graham Crusades, and one of the songs that was played oftentimes at the Billy Graham Crusades was a precious and powerful song called "I Have Decided to Follow Jesus." Have you noticed my shirt here today? Everybody that's going to be baptized has one of these shirts on today, because our theme today is "I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back." Following Jesus is a serious decision. It's not just a click or an unclick. It's not casual. It's very serious. Chuck Colson, one of the great writers in Christianity, after he was radically saved and changed himself, said this, that most Westerners, that's you and I, we take baptism for granted. But for many in the world, the act requires immense courage. In countries like Nepal, It once meant imprisonment. For Soviet or Chinese or Eastern Bloc believers, there was a time when it literally meant signing their death warrants. I have a dear friend who went to teach a group of young believers in a Muslim nation, and he wasn't exactly sure what he was going to be doing. When he got there, he found that they were all from the country of Iran, and they had all come across the border for holiday. And the reason they had is because they wanted to be baptized, and they could not be baptized in their native country. It would have been illegal. It would have cost them all their lives. When we talk about I Have Decided this morning, I've got to share with you quickly the story behind the song. I love these. Maybe you've heard some of them. I'm not sure if you've heard this one or not. But behind most of the great songs that we sing in the church, even the contemporary songs of today, there's usually a pretty powerful message, especially for the older songs. And I Have Decided to Follow Jesus came out of an evangelistic explosion that happened in the nation of India in the late 1800s. Entire provinces that had been formerly closed to the gospel were swept up in a missionary movement, perhaps unrivaled in Indian history. The nation of Wales, in particular, sent hundreds of missionaries to northern India, and they were joined by Indian evangelists as well as missionaries from England, Australia, the United States. The movement was remarkable for at least a couple of reasons. First, it was led mostly by Indians themselves, and those men became national figures. Second, this missionary endeavor was focused on northern India, which had been firmly in the grip of the most oppressive form of Hinduism. It was a place where the caste system was deeply entrenched, and even headhunters ruled in that day and time. In these provinces, they prided themselves on the hostile reaction they gave to foreigners. Dozens and dozens of missionaries were martyred. But despite the opposition and violence, or perhaps because of it, the gospel made inroads into this previously off-limits area. In the 1880s, a Welsh missionary who'd endured severe persecution finally saw his first converts in a particularly brutal village in the Indian province of Assam. And the converts were a husband and a wife and their two children, and they professed faith in Christ, and they were baptized as a public announcement of their faith in Jesus. Their village leaders decided to make an example out of them. So they arrested the whole family, and they demanded that the father renounce Christ or see his wife and his children murdered before his very eyes. When he refused, he said these words. They said, we're going to literally take your wife's life. He said, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. And they took his wife's life right there in front of him. And then they threatened to take his two children's lives. And he said those words, the cross before me, the world behind me. I've decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. And they shot down with arrows his two children. And then they threatened to take his own life. Then he said, though no one is here to go with me, no turning back, I will follow Jesus. Witnesses later told this story to the Welsh missionary. The report said that when asked to recant, he just kept saying, I've decided to follow Jesus. There's no turning back. And a famous missionary took the words and penned it into a song that has now become a famous song in India and the United States. In fact, George Beverly Shea would often make it a staple at the Billy Graham Crusades. So this morning, I just asked the question, how serious are you in following Jesus? We're living in a day and a time where, quite honestly, the world would want to shut Christians up, would want to stifle Christians from having a witness, from having a voice, would want to cast us in a very, very negative light? Are we going to stand up and let our light shine, or are we going to allow our light to be hidden under a bushel, under a basket? In Mark chapter 8, Jesus and his disciples went to the towns of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked them, "Who do men say that I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." This morning, I want to share with you three reasons I think it's important to publicly acknowledge and follow Christ in baptism. Three reasons. The first one is simply this: I have decided to follow Christ. I have decided to follow the example set by Christ at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. Even though baptism was about the washing away of sins, it was about repentance, the spotless, sinless Lamb of God chose to be baptized himself to set an example for all of us who would follow. When he gave his great commission at the end of his life and ministry, he said, "Teaching them to obey all these things I've commanded you, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. As you go into the world, this is what you're to do." This is the public demonstration of an inward faith, an inward change that Jesus has made in our hearts and our lives. This declares to the world, I'm following the example of Christ. 1 Corinthians 11:1 says, "Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ." Secondly, I've decided to demonstrate my changed life. In 1 Peter 3:21, it says, "In baptism, we show we've been saved from death and doom by the resurrection of Christ. Not because our bodies are washed clean by the water, but because in being baptized, we are turning to God and asking Him to cleanse our hearts from sin." I'll never forget the night I was baptized. I didn't know the Lord. The first 15 years of my life, I didn't grow up in a Christian home. I didn't go to church. And at 15, my best friend shared Christ with me, which I'm so thankful for. And it was several months after that. It was the beginning of the year, January. I gave my heart to the Lord, 1980. It was several months after that that I finally wrestled through this decision to be baptized. I don't know why. It took me a while, but I guess it was fear or ignorance. But finally, I realized this was an important step of obedience in following Jesus. I'll never forget it, that Sunday night at Little Flock Baptist Church when I entered that baptismal waters and was baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit and came up out of that tank declaring the new life Jesus had given me. It was a marker moment, a defining moment in my life, one that I have not forgotten and will never forget. And I'm praying that very same thing for our five baptismal candidates today, that you will never forget this moment, that it signifies and symbolizes the change that Jesus has made inside of you. This is an outward act symbolizing, signifying the inward act of salvation, the becoming a new creation in Christ Jesus. All the old things are passed away. Behold, all the new things have come in Jesus. In 1 John 2:4, it's serious stuff, folks. Here's what John, the apostle of love, says. "Someone may say, I'm a Christian, I'm on my way to heaven, I belong to Christ, but if he doesn't do what Christ tells him to do, he's a liar and the truth is not in him." This is important for us, that we follow Jesus' example, that we demonstrate to the world the changed life we have. In the early days when they would baptize people, it's very interesting. One of the earliest Christian writings we have is called the Didache, and it's by some of the early church fathers. And when they would baptize, there are a number of different things they would do as a part of the symbolic act. One is they would find very, very cold running water. So this morning we have purposefully, it's not running, I'll stir it up a little bit for you, but it might be a little cold. And the reason they chose cold water is because they wanted the symbolic sense of the shock of going from a person who was in the kingdom of darkness to now being birthed into the kingdom of light. that there was significance to that, that you felt it in a sense. There was another thing that would often be done in early baptisms. They would come into the baptism wearing these old garments they had put over top of some new garments. And as they would go under the water, they would take off the old garment, the one that was spotted and stained. And as they came up out of the water, the old garment would float down the river as a sign that the sins of the past were gone and a new life was being celebrated. Isn't that awesome? To demonstrate a changed life. And then lastly, to declare my commitment publicly. I had the privilege several years ago. I've only been to Israel once. I hope to go back again with a group from this church sometime in the future. But I was there, and one of the significant moments for me was to have my pastor baptize me in the Jordan River. And I got to tell you, the Jordan River, you know, we read it in the Bible, and we might have a sense of kind of idealizing it, making it something look something really beautiful, really, you know, out of the ordinary. It's just a small little river, quite muddy. But it was powerful to be baptized there in the same particular place where Jesus was baptized. And then my pastor turned to me and said, "Now I'd like for you to baptize some folks." And what an honor that was. I'll never forget that. But we as Christians are to declare our commitment to Jesus publicly. How many of you know Jesus went to the cross publicly for you? That wasn't a hidden act. That wasn't something that was covered up. He hung on that cross in front of the eyes of many that would pass him in that day there on that hillside. He went to the cross publicly for you. See, the world wants to make us think that our faith is private, that we're not even to talk about it, but that's not what Scripture says. That is absolutely not what Scripture says. Matthew 10, 32 through 33 says this: "Whoever acknowledges me before men, I'll also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. Whoever disowns me before men, I'll disown him before my Father in heaven." My kids the other day asked me, "Dad, can you take your wedding ring off?" And I reached down and, well, it didn't come off very easy. In fact, it didn't come off at all. It's because it hasn't come off in pretty much about 30 years. 31 in December. Thank you, honey, for helping me out there, baby. 31 in December. That's right. It's coming up. It's not far off. And that ring symbolizes something. It symbolizes that I belong to this beautiful woman right here on the front row. That, you know, I'm hers and nobody else can have this. You know? Not that they'd want it, but hey, I'm hers. And she's mine. I want you to think about baptism this morning as the wedding ring. The wedding ring, if you will, of Scripture, of belief in Christ. I love it. Just the whole idea that today, when you are baptized, you have publicly declared, there's no taking it back, no renouncing it. You are Jesus's. You are following Him. He is Savior and Lord of your life. You're going to live the rest of your days for His glory and His praise. What do you think it'd be like if every day when I came into my house, as I'm walking through the garage, I just, you know, or when I left my house, let me get right here. When I left my house, I just took my wedding ring off and put it over on a little hook and went out into the world without my wedding ring on every day. And then when I came back in to greet my wife, I slipped it back on. Let me just tell you what would happen. I mean, there'd be hair, there'd be eyeballs flying. I mean, I'd be in trouble. It would not be nice. It would not be good. But can you imagine that? I don't take it off because it's a commitment I made once and for all to honor and cherish this young lady with my fidelity and love. And baptism is that wedding ring of belief today. So we're going to publicly declare him. And it's going to be exciting today. And we have a photographer ready to capture this moment. So that when you leave today, you've got something to hold on to and remember this moment. We're going to ask you all to celebrate in the moment. We're going to ask you, in fact, to not even hold back. Just to get a little bit crazy if you want to. Like you're at a ball game or something. Because this is a lot bigger and more important than a touchdown or a three-pointer at the buzzer. A lot more important. So you can shout. You can clap. In fact, I hope you will. Because I'm going to encourage you to. So I'm going to invite none other than our worship leader, Glenn Brockway, to come. And Pastor Bert is going to be baptizing Glenn today. And it's going to get exciting, folks. This is going to be good. So Glenn was asked the question, as each of our baptismal candidates were, what does Jesus mean to me? And Glenn said, he means so much. Because of him, I'll get to party for all eternity with my family and celebrate God's majesty, glory, and power. And Glenn, why do you want to be baptized? He said, my pre-cancer life versus my after-cancer life. The chains and the strongholds have been broken, and God's grace has been made so much more real.
Lord, when he comes, dear God, when he comes up, he comes clean in a whole new you, a whole new way, that you will just be with him. You'll guide him. You'll be with him. And as you said, Jesus, when you went away, you was going to send the Holy Spirit who would guide and teach this brother all things. And we thank you for that in your holy name.
Amen.
So Glenn, with the proclamation of Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. He will reappear in just a few minutes back on this platform to lead worship. Isn't that exciting? At least we're hoping. That was good. Amen. Rebecca Walsh, come on up, and your family can come up with you too if you'd like. When we asked Becca, what does Jesus mean to you, Becca? She said, precious Savior. Isn't that awesome? And why do I want to be baptized? To recommit my life and remind myself to set my focus on Jesus. I love that. Isn't that good? That is good. Whoa. There was a whoa. And by the way, we've asked those who were a part of, reaching, touching, helping folks to be a part of the baptism. So Amanda Stanley is the one that brought Becca to church and to Christ, and she's going to have the privilege of baptizing her friend. Isn't that awesome? So, Amanda, go right ahead.
This is such an honor. Becca and I have walked through a lot together, all the way through school for, feels like 40 years. We were in the desert. And this is a privilege because she got to know Jesus. And somehow he saw me fit to use me to lead Becca to Jesus. So Becca, I'm so proud of you. Dear Father, I thank you for this opportunity for Becca to be washed clean in your name. So in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we wash Becca clean of all of her sin. It is no more, and she's not looking back.
Wow, that's exciting. That is exciting. And now we have a father and a daughter. How exciting is that? Nora Broadbeck is coming. Ben is going to come. And family, you're welcome to come up and gather around if you'd like. You're welcome to do that. And Nora, when she was asked the question, what does Jesus mean to me? She said, without a hesitation, he is the Lord and Savior of my life. Amen. And then why do I want to be baptized? Because I love Jesus and I want to be closer to him. Isn't that awesome? That is just wonderful. Ben, go right ahead.
All right, sweetheart, I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud that you've made a decision to follow Christ the rest of your life. This is the biggest decision of your life. And, Lord, I pray that you light a fire in her, Lord God, that, Lord, that she wouldn't look back, Lord, that she would know when times get hard that she can trust in you, that, Lord, that you're the ultimate father in her life, that she can put all her worries and trust in you, Lord God. We thank you and love you so much. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, I baptize you.
Yay! That was awesome. That was awesome. I love that big Otis had a pat her on the head. That was pretty neat right there. I love it. You guys are such a beautiful family, Ben and Becky. So proud of you guys and your family and your kids following the Lord. Next is, I'm always used to calling him Xander, but Alexander Stanley. And his father, Jeff Stanley. Look at that, he didn't hesitate. Must be warming up. Must be warming up. Can we get another bucket of cold water? No, I'm just kidding. When we ask Xander, what's Jesus mean to you, Xander? He says, I follow him, I praise and worship him because he is my king. Isn't that awesome? And why do you want to be baptized, Xander? He says, because I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. Man, I love that. So, Jeff.
All right, Xander, we asked him prior to coming to church if he'd write something down, what baptism means to him. And he, on his own last night, he wrote down, to be baptized is an honor because I get to follow Jesus all the way and I can get my heart washed. So, Xander, this morning that's my prayer for you that this baptism would symbolize your heart being washed clean from all the sin, all the things of this world that you have had to struggle with and deal with would be washed away from you. The worries and the cares would just be put into Jesus and you would trust him with all your heart. So let's go ahead. I'll pray first. Lord God, I thank you for this young man, for the strength that he has shown. Lord God, for the love and compassion that he has for others. I pray, Lord, that as we baptize him, that, Lord, he would be made a new creation, that his mindset would change, that he would follow after you with a new fervor, Lord God, a new energy, that he would just put all of his trust in you, Lord God. He would come to you with any care or concern, and, Lord, that he would worship and praise you with all of his heart. So, Xander, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, I baptize you.
Amen. Way to go, Xander. That was awesome. And lastly, we're going to baptize Wesley Moore. And his grandfather, Pastor Bert's, going to get the privilege of baptizing Wesley.
Pray for the feet.
When asked, what does Jesus mean to me? Wesley said, he's my father, somebody to care for me, guide me, and take care of me. Why do I want to be baptized? Because I want to show other people I'm a Christian and I can be a good man. So, Pastor Bert.
Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, dear Father. And Lord, it took a family to raise this guy for a couple years. And Lord, they've been so faithful. And beyond that, Lord, you've been more than faithful, dear God. You've just met his every need, and you've showed up in ways we just never even expected. And Father, there's a calling on this young man's life, yes. Dear Father, and I just ask you that you would continue to water, to nurture, to feed that, Father. And when the day comes, Lord, for full harvest, Lord, may we be there to rejoice, dear Father. May I still be around, oh God. I'm looking for a blessing, too. And in that, Lord, I thank you for this opportunity this morning to baptize him, and I thank you for that.
So, Wes, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, I baptize you.
Amen. Woo. Amen. Amen. Can you hit that song for just a minute, Mike? The I Have Decided by Phil Wickham. It'd be great just to hear a little bit of that. And, man, wasn't that awesome, you guys? Isn't that exciting?
To fall.